To determine whether a lead is worth pursuing, you need to evaluate its potential as an investment. To do so, you must obtain four key types of information about the lead. First is the property information. Second, the financing information. Third, information about the seller. And last, information about the broker if one is involved in the transaction. First, property information includes the basic description of the property itself, the characteristics of the neighborhood, the current rental situation, if any, and how long the property has been on the market. Second, financing information describes the current financing of the property and the willingness of the seller to participate in financing your purchase. Third, seller information provides background data on the seller's situation, especially with regard to his or her reason for selling. And finally, broker information includes the willingness of the broker to participate in the financing by taking their commission as a note and/or loaning you money for the down payment. To help you gather this information, I've included a seller information form in my real estate forms portfolio. The seller information form is designed to help you gather, record, and catalog information obtained over the phone from prospective sellers. Figure 8-1 in your manual shows an example of the form and its 13 general items, which cover the four key types of information I just mentioned. If you have the manual handy, go ahead and read along as I touch on each one of the 13 items and list some sample questions you should ask. If not, then just listen as I go over them and review the example form when you get a chance. Item number one on the seller information form is the seller's name. When you ask for this information, you should always offer your own first name first. For example, I might say, "My name is Carlton. May I ask your name?" Item number two in the form covers property information, and examples of questions to ask regarding this item include, "Can you tell me about your home or property? What is the size or square footage of the house? What is the layout of the house? For example, is it a split plan, a ranch, or a two-story? What is the lot size? Does it have a garage? How many rooms are there in the home? How many bedrooms and bathrooms does it have? Tell me, are there features of the home that are special or set it apart? What appliances or pieces of furniture are included with the property?" Item number three covers price. You might ask, for example, "How much are you asking for the property? And may I ask how you arrived at that price?" Item number four tells you about existing financing on the property. Pertinent questions there may include, "What existing financing is on the property now? Is the loan assumable? Who's the lender? What are the terms, interest rate, and monthly payments? And if you don't mind my asking, are you current on all of your payments?" Item number five determines whether or not the seller might be willing to assist in financing. To find out such information, you might ask a direct question, like, "Are you willing to assist in the financing?" Or, depending on how the conversation is going, other less direct questions like, "Do you need cash at the time of closing? If so, how much do you need? And may I ask the nature of the need? Or would it be possible to spread the down payment over a period of time?" Item six tells you how long the property has been on the market, and you can ask the question directly of the seller. Item 7 and 8 tell you how long the seller has owned the property and why they're selling, and again, you can ask them directly. In item 9, you want to find out what the seller thinks are the best and worst features of the property. To find out, simply ask, "What do you like most about the property, and what do you like least?" Item 10 tells you about the rental situation in the neighborhood. Pertinent questions include, "Are there any renters in your neighborhood? If so, do you happen to know what they're paying in rent? What do you think the rent would be for your property?" Item 11 explores the possibility of using a lease option to purchase the property. Again, this is a question that can be asked directly. For example, "Would you consider leasing your property with an option to buy?" Item 12 determines the lowest price the seller would be willing to take for his or her property. You can ask the question as simply as, "If I were able to buy your property for all cash and close on it within a week, what is the very lowest price you'd consider taking?" In addition to giving you information, this question suggests to the seller that you could pay cash for the property, even if you can't. Use this question cautiously if you absolutely need seller financing. Finally, item 13 concerns questions to ask a broker if one is involved in the transaction. They include things like, "Do you own any investment property yourself? Have you ever owned any investment property? Does your firm manage properties? If I buy this property, would you consider managing it for me? And if so, what would you charge to do so? What is the vacancy rate in the area? If the property is currently being rented, you could ask, based on your managing experience, would the rent currently being charged for this property be above market, below market, or just about right? Do you have any other properties for sale that might be good investments for me? For example, some that are physically distressed or owned by someone who is very anxious to sell. And a last question to a broker or agent, would you be willing to take all or part of your commission in the form of a note? Now, the first few questions on the seller information form establish a rapport with the seller because they're easy to answer, and the answers concern things that the seller should already know or be able to find out. Other questions, such as whether or not the seller is willing to participate in financing your purchase, require more thinking on the part of the seller, especially if they're unfamiliar with the options available to do it. That's why they shouldn't be asked until the rapport is already established. Always phrase the questions in a positive conversational tone, and where natural, proceed with the seller's first name. For example, instead of saying, "I don't suppose you know whether anyone in your neighborhood is renting," simply ask something like, "Elizabeth, do you know if there are any renters in your neighborhood?" As soon as you end a call, summarize your notes and make a note on the form classifying the property as good or rejected, and the seller as flexible or inflexible. Regardless of the seller's classification, forms that describe good property should be retained in your hold file, and forms that describe rejected property should be kept, but placed in an inactive file. If the answers you receive in your telephone call prompt you to set up a visit to the property, transfer the information from the seller's information form to a property analysis form, which is also included in the real estate forms portfolio, and then take it with you when you visit. The property analysis form includes 5 sections that cover everything from the seller's name and address to specific information on the property's current financing. When you complete all sections of the property analysis form, you will have an excellent perspective on all aspects of the property.